Okay, we're going to start Maseches Challah. All right, the word challah is a type of truma. Okay, the word is from Chazal. Is machlokes whether we should say the bracha hamafrish challah min ha'isa or hamafrish truma min ha'isa. And the prevailing custom is to say challah, and that's what we call it. That's what Masechta is called. And the reason why we call the special bread we eat on Shabbos challah is because we like to, especially for Shabbos, uplift our chulin to a truma status. Gemara says there are three types of truma, meaning that for the sake of ritual purity, we treat all three exactly alike. That's bikurim, truma, and challah. Only regarding the truma, the tahara, the ritual purity we must maintain for the three. There are, of course, some other differences. Truma you can eat anywhere in Israel, and challah you can eat anywhere in Israel, but bikurim have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. There are some other secondary differences, but with respect to the ritual purity of the three and the fact that the Kohanim own truma, challah, and bikurim, right? A Kohen can't give his truma and challah and bikurim to a non-Kohen. He must eat them himself. And they're open to any of his family members who have a din of kahuna. If a Kohen is married to a divorcee, he remains a Kohen, but his children do not, and they're not allowed to eat challah. Okay, Masechta starts off with the rules that challah is to be taken only from five grains, not from fruits, but only from grain. Now, remember, I told you before that there are really only two grains in the Torah. There's wheat and barley, and all other grains behave either like wheat or like barley. As far as our first Mishnah in Maseches Challah is concerned, there are only five grains, and spelt behaves like wheat, and oats and rye behave like barley. Just to make it simple, if you've learned Maseches Pesachim, oats, barley, and rye have a weaker chimutz, a weaker fermentation than wheat and spelt. This is why some people who have a wheat intolerance for matzah, they eat oat matzah on Pesach. And if you've bought 13-grain bread, then it's just a question of those other eight grains, whether they behave like wheat or whether they behave like barley. Okay, so we have other grains these days like quinoa and farro and all kinds of things that you might purchase. And they're not considered challah removable. I know people today might refer to them as grains. Obviously, there are important ramifications for eating these things on Pesach. Why they might be kitniot or not kitniot, we'll discuss when we get up to Pesachim. But for the time being, it's only these five things. If they can become chametz, then they can be made into matzah, and if we keep water from this product at a certain point, then we're allowed to eat it. It's not considered chametz. We're allowed to eat it in Pesach as a matzah product. Okay, so other items that resemble grain, like rice, millet, or I just mentioned quinoa and farro and things like that, we have differences between the Ashkenazic community and the Sephardic community. So, but when it comes to removal of challah from the bread, from the dough, then it is only from these five grains. Okay, so, and challah is only to be removed, l'chatchila, from when the product is in the state of dough. If I remove challah before it is made into dough, like from flour, and give it to the Kohen, the Mishnah says I've done nothing. You have to give the Kohen it would appear that this should be very early on in Seder's Rhyme, because the other gifts we give to Kohanim and Leviim is in the form of grain. Give them stalks of grain. Here we're giving them something much later in the process. I've done winnowing and threshing and I've done grinding and selecting, and I've purified it, and I mixed it with water, and I make it into a dough. You've seen in pizza parlors or things like that. So it's in that state where I'm supposed to give it to the Kohen. So be careful. You can't give it to them before that state, but we can give it to them after that state. I've gotten calls like this. Oh, no, what have I done? I forgot to take out challah. You can give the Kohen you can fulfill challah by giving it to the Kohen even after it's baked. Okay? Again, not before the chiyuv challah sets in, which is when it's in a state of dough, but after the chiyuv challah sets in, we are allowed to give it to them. So that the Masechta discusses, in addition to what we take out challah, in this context, there's a profound contradiction from one Mishnah to another. Because one Mishnah says that you cannot combine barley and wheat, which would mean barley, oats, and rye, with wheat and spelt. But that's later in the Masechta. The first Mishnah says that you can combine all five of them for a chiyuv challah. What do I mean by combine? Because I won't give you the kavim measures, but the weight measures. At 1.9 pounds of dough, minhag is to remove challah without a bracha. When it's 2.9 pounds of dough, then we remove challah with a bracha. So many people who make challah try to make sure that there is enough dough for it. It might make six or seven challahs, and they put it in the freezer for next Shabbos. But if you make it too little, then you'll never have to remove challah. You don't want to remove it if you don't have to, because it's baltashchis, and you also certainly don't want to make a bracha if you don't have to.
So it's at one point, pounds of flour, pounds of dough.
It's 1.9 pounds as dough.
So that includes the water.
So yes, but be careful, because once you start mixing in other things, then you start running into different opinions. But when it has people should not also make the mistake of thinking that because we call the bread we eat on Shabbos challah, that's the only thing where challah needs to be removed. That's not true. When you make dough for pizza, when you make dough for spaghetti, when you make dough for donuts, these things also have to have challah removed. All right. But it has to be in one vessel where all the doughs are, the dough is in the same place. If you're making, you know, many different doughs and putting it out in pieces, then it wouldn't have to be removed until it's all in one place. But a later Mishnah says that if you make the dough and you put them into a big container and make it into a roll, and you put 30 rolls together into a container, then that container will kick in. This is an amazing chiddush. The container will kick in a chiyuv for removing challah. You should give them a whole roll after the fact. Right? In other words, it's a big chiddush that it could be exempt from challah in the form of dough, because it was never in a place altogether at 1.9 pounds. But then afterwards, if you put it into a vessel where the Mishnah uses the Lashon Kiss, where they kiss each other and they touch each other, then it's the chiyuv will return, and you have to give it to the Kohen in the form of a roll. Today, we don't give challah to Kohanim because we're not sure if Kohanim are really descendants of Aaron. The Mishnah Berurah does refer to certain Kohanim Yuchasim who really were very careful with their Yichas for the generations, and they have lists of how far back they go, that they would go to the mikvah on Friday afternoon and they would actually not burn the challah in the oven and make it inedible so that they can throw it out. Don't throw it out as dough, because that's baltashkes and you're throwing out truma. You're not allowed to waste truma. So we burn it and make it unusable, and then it doesn't have like a din of truma anymore, so then you can throw it out. So that's the general minhag. Today, I'm not sure. I haven't seen people give the challah actually to a kohen to eat, but today the general minhag is to do it, as I just said, is to burn it so that it's no longer edible. What's the shear of giving challah? The Mishnah says that the shear for a balabayas is 1/24, and if you have a bakery, it's 1/48. Now, if you're making a lot of challah, a lot of dough in a bakery, you know, tons of dough, you're making, or it's a big Angel's Bakery and a big factory in all over Israel. 1/48 is a significant amount of dough. That could be 100 pounds of dough for amount of that they might make in one big run for the week. So we're lenient today, especially since we don't have miyuchas tikka kohanim, and it would be big baltashchis for these large organizations, and there are different ways that they can get out of this, either by separating in different places, never letting it kiss, but that can also be burdensome for them. And that's a different thing. But if you're making challah at home, just try to make sure that what we pull off is no less than 1/24 of the entire dough. This is all the first parak. The second parak talks about the differences between challah in Eretz Yisrael and the difference between challah in Chutz Laretz. This is a big machlokas. You may recall in the Mishnah in the Maseches Kiddushin. And so we paskin at least midrabanan. Everybody agrees midrabanan that we do remove challah even outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah discusses whether the prevailing din should be the source of where the wheat was grown, the grain was grown, or where the challah is being removed. You hear it? In other words, if the wheat was grown in Israel and you take it outside of Israel, then it still has to be removed. If you grew outside of Israel and you took it into Israel, then it doesn't. It's a matter of where the grain grew. This is all a moot point today. We remove challah even for grain that grew in outside of Israel, and where it's baked outside of Israel. So it's all midrabanan. And since challah is a type of truma, so the dinim that apply to a lot of the dinim that apply to truma in Maseches Trumos applies to challah. And the Mishnah in the third parak speaks about achilas arai, that you're allowed to eat it as a snack before it's removed. And then the last parak talks about the dinim of tziruf, of how you can combine the various grains to make a chiv, a shir. So how do we resolve the contradiction I mentioned before? Very simple, is that when we say five grains can mitzdaref, that is where the grains are in the as flour. You can mix wheat flour and barley flour to make the 2.9 pounds. But once they're in the state of dough, then wheat dough does not mix with barley dough to make a shear. Okay. Final thing is, how do we know what the five grains are? The Mishnah says them in Hebrew. How do we know? Maybe farro is a grain and oats are not a grain. Maybe rice is a grain. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says rice is a grain. So for that, I tell you, like everything else in the Talmud, Rashi. Rashi uses the French word for oats, to tell us that it's one of the grains. Okay, the reason why wheat-intolerant stomachs can digest oats is because the chimutz process of oats is pretty weak. Right? I know someone who made an investigation and an experiment, and he saw that the chimutz process of rice, which is basically what happens if you put it in water for a certain amount of time, and how does it ferment and blast out, that rice blasts out more than oats do. So someone who has a wheat intolerance will probably be more intolerant to rice than to oats. Anyway, that's the gewaldic nature of Rashi, is that we rely on Rashi for so much that we do. And finally, challah is mentioned in Parshas Shlach as a sort of a counterbalance to the mun. The Jews felt that they might not deserve to get their own food in Israel. So Hashem says, no, you'll deserve it. Just give challah and you'll deserve to my good graces, and I'll bless the land because you bless the Kohen with your challah. In fact, Yechezkel says that explicitly. Gemara in the sixth parak in the Maseches Brachos says this explicitly. Yechezkel tells us that I'll bless the land if you give challah properly. Okay, so we should all be zocha. Once in my life, I was able to mafresh challah. I'm going to make sure I do all the mitzvahs at least once, if I can. So I was poda meister sheni once in Eretz Yisrael, and in my daughter's backyard, I was fulfilled by pushing aside the orla of her lemon tree. And now she's past the orla stage, and now it's up to the ravai stage. And I hope to make it there in time to be poda ravai. Okay, everyone, have a great day today, and I'll see you Thursday, Metz Hashem, with Meseches Orla. Have a great day.